I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Hope you're having a great morning. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, once again, the Chiefs and Bills are leading the way in the AFC. But can the Colts or Ravens break up the party? How's that chili? Good? Sending any this way? Talking to you. You're my co- Don't look around. I'm talking to you. How's that crock pot chili? How is it?
I've been thinking about it. I didn't make any. I haven't made any yet. Like, I made it for, what was it, last week? I don't like to make the same thing within, like, the next few days.
Oh,
so we did not have chili last night.
We made spaghetti. For us?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. It was great. The lovely cat was like, I'm sorry, I'm not a good wife, and I haven't made more home-cooked meals. I was like, honey, come on. What are you talking about? I was like, because we just eat out so much. I was like, I don't expect anything. It's just that I get so excited. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so good. This is so good. This is so delicious. So that was good for us. We're trying to do a better job of cooking at home together, you know, being in the kitchen. And I just do a lot of stirring. That's essentially my job. Mm. I'll stir this to make sure it doesn't burn or anything. But it was great. So for us, for people who have such a bad habit of DoorDashing all the time, we're trying to do a better job of eating at home. That was a good first baby step for us.
Well, I think it's tough, especially when you live in like a big city where there's so many good restaurants. Like, think about it. Like, you're competing. Your home cooking is competing against, like, five-star chefs.
Yeah.
Or whatever they do for chefs. Is it Michelin stars? I don't know. Because I'm not super into that world. But you get what I'm saying is that it's difficult to scale that back once you've been eating out. Because that food is so good and you don't have to do dishes.
That's the best part. Because we cooked last night. And I always, you know, just to be fair, I'm like, listen, if you're going to do the majority of the cooking, then I'm going to clean up, just to be fair here. So I'll get in there and I'll scrub the pots and pans and all that stuff. But that's the one thing when you're done, like, oh, that was so good. I got like four pans I got to scrub and clean. With DoorDash, you just close it up and throw it away. That's the key. The food is great, but the cleanup is, that's the real linchpin of the entire thing.
Yeah, I think that's why you try to clean while you cook. I know it's not super fun, but like this is the difference between me cooking and my husband cooking. Is it like when Jay cooks, the entire kitchen is a mess. And so we have that sinking feeling after we finish our meal. We're like, oh, we got to do the dishes now. But when I cook, I try to, you know, tidy up while things are cooking. Nice. And I feel like that takes away some of it. But when you eat every meal at home, it's a lot of dishes. And it sucks. Like there is nothing worse than like menial housework. I don't care who you are. Like, nobody enjoys that. Like, there's nobody that's like, oh, I can't wait to scrub these dishes and this half-eaten food from somebody else. There's nothing grosser than cleaning off half-eaten food of somebody else. I will clean my own half-eaten food, but when it's from somebody else, that is a huge ick.
Very fair. Very fair. I get that as well. But I try to clean when I cook as well. Like, just along the way, all right, I'm done with this. Let me put it away. I'm done with this. I'm done with this pan. I'll sort of clean it so that way we don't have this mess when we're done. Is the AFC a mess, Chelsea? No, it's not. Nice and clean near the top, just the way you want it. Chiefs and Bills are the favorites to win the AFC. What's new? Chiefs, +275. The Bills at 3-1. Then you have the Colts, +550. The Ravens, 9-1. Broncos, 9-1. Chargers and Patriots, 11-1. Here we are again. Midseason in the National Football League. Oh, are the Chiefs going to be okay? What about the Bills? A couple weeks ago, they got their butts beat. Are they going to be okay? Ooh, look at the Broncos. Look at the AFC West. The Ravens are terrible. And yet, all the dust settles. And here we are. Bills, Chiefs, Buffalo wins in the regular season. And they're probably going to meet in the playoffs. And then the Chiefs are probably going to win again. Is this the way it's going to go?
I mean, it might, and I think just from a conversation standpoint, like, nobody's going to be shocked, and you can make an excellent case for either of these teams to win the AFC, but we're a betting show, so James, we are looking for value. So I think when you take that into consideration, you say, okay, the Chiefs +275, the Bills 3-1, like, who could possibly crash the party when it comes to the AFC? And granted, we're not asking them to win a Super Bowl. They simply need to win the AFC or even get there if the line is, long enough. So I think there are a couple of good candidates here. What do you think the ceiling is on the Patriots, the Colts, who are only 5-1, I should include that, or even it's surprising to me that the odds makers still have faith in the Ravens. The Ravens are still only 9-1 to win the AFC despite having a losing record. So, Jenks, of those three teams, which do you think is most likely to crash the party?
Ooh, could it be the Ravens? Are they really going to do this? Here's the thing with the Patriots. The Patriots are very good. They're well-coached, and Drake May's having a fine season. The Patriots are the Commanders from a year ago, is what they are, right? Yep. Where they struggled, they weren't good in the season previously, now they have a young quarterback, they have a new head coach, and all of a sudden, what are we seeing? We're seeing a team put it all together, they're making magic, coming out of nowhere. Right now, they're challenging for the division lead. There's a lot of similarities there. But the one thing that was holding back the Commanders last year is that they weren't doing it with smoke and mirrors, but there were some definite gaps in that team. And I feel like one of those gaps was championship experience. And that's why right now, when you look at the AFC East, you're seeing the Bills at minus 175. You see the Patriots plus 135, even though the Patriots lead the division. I still think it's the Bills' division to win. And we saw last week, the demise of the Bills has been greatly overstated. I know they have owned Kansas City outside of the playoffs, but as soon as you count the Bills out, what happens? They step up defensively. Josh Allen plays out of his mind. He was hyper-efficient last week, and then they keep winning. So I don't think this is the Patriots' year to maybe disrupt the top echelon of teams in the AFC. But I do think the Ravens, now that Lamar's back and that defense is playing much better, particularly over the past 3 weeks, the Ravens are the team who, once again, might just be there in the end to kind of disrupt what we've seen.
I think the biggest takeaway from the Bills game against the Chiefs was not the offense, because we know Josh Allen is really good. And even in those losses to Kansas City in the postseason, rarely has it been Josh Allen's fault. But the way that the defense looked and the way that they were limiting that Kansas City offense is a big deal for a Bills defense. This looked like it's had some holes. I remember, seeing it, I was Joey Bosa's actually healthy and playing and making a difference for this Bills defense. And that is a huge deal because we know how talented he can be. But I think if this Bills defense can keep it together, that is the difference maker for Buffalo as opposed to, their offense. Because the offense is always going to be good. But we haven't talked about the Colts either. Do you think they need to be thrown in there? I wish we had longer odds, because it feels to me that I still have some questions about them in the postseason. Because think about it. You're standing in a room with Josh Allen, with Patrick Mahomes, with Lamar Jackson, and Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Do you want to trust Daniel Jones? And I understand he's had a fine season. But when it comes to the postseason, it feels like you have to step up your game. So statistically speaking, the Colts are this great team that, all the statistics love. But I do think that you have to earn your stripes in the postseason. So at 5-1, I think that's too short of a price on Indianapolis.
Yeah. I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think so as well. Although, I want to give Danny Dimes some credit. Indiana Jones, are you falling into the trap where, and I don't say it's a trap because maybe there's something to this, where he has a bad game like he did against the Steelers and you're like, oh, here we go. Same old Danny Dimes again. I tend to try to look at the totality of his work, and he's been great. And every quarterback in the NFL, even the greats, have bad games. So I'm not saying Danny Dimes is one of the greats. I'm saying that it's not out of the realm of possibility that he can have a great season and still have an off game, particularly against the Steelers defense and the way they were playing last week. How do you feel about Indiana Jones?
Well, also, it's not all on him because their run game is so good.
Yeah.
So, he doesn't necessarily have to be Superman or Indiana Jones for this team to be really successful from what we saw from the defense. And, of course, we just had the trade deadline and the Colts beefing up their defense with Sauce Gardner. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, he doesn't have to put up the numbers that we'll have to see from Josh Allen in order for the Bills to win a football game. But it should be interesting down the stretch. Do you think we should mention the Broncos?
Sure.
I feel like I'm being a little disrespectful by not saying, hey, the Broncos have the fourth shortest odds in the AFC, but I think I have the same reservations about their offense.
Okay.
And so we've seen this Broncos offense be kind of inconsistent this year, and that's kind of what you expect from a young quarterback like Bo Nix. And the defense has had some injuries, like Pat Surtain having to miss some games as well. But the defense overall is still very, very good. I just look at those top-tier teams, like the Broncos. If they were in a matchup against, you know, the Bills, I'm not sure if their offense can keep up.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. But I will say, when you have a stout defense like they have, you can kind of hang with anyone. I worry a little bit about the Bills defense, because I feel like the Bills defense will rise up at certain times, like we saw against the Chiefs, and then just have an absolute flop of a game where they give up 30, 40 points a game. Maybe I'm feeding into a stereotype here. But when you have a great head coach like Sean Payton, when you have a very good quarterback, not an exceptional quarterback, but a solid quarterback, and Bo Nix in that defense, you can kind of play with anyone. I think the question is, come the postseason, when they aren't playing in Denver, like getting the Broncos in Denver, is that's a difficult place to play because of the home field, because of the elevation. But with the way things are sort of trending now, the Broncos are going to be on the road, and I feel like that's when they're really vulnerable.
Yeah. Okay, so we've explored some of these options, and we've talked about quote-unquote value, but how about the conservative side of things? If you're the ultimate front runner, you say, hey, the Bills and the Chiefs are in a league of their own. You could honestly bet on both of these teams, and if one of them win the AFC Championship, you would still be up money. Is this a smart bet?
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of making multiple bets, you know, in a particular conference, even if you can end up with some plus money. You got to be a big believer. I will say, if you have a very strong belief, you can make a very strong case, and maybe you can, then it's worth your money. But for me, I would sort of say, oh, these two teams could probably win it, and that's not a strong enough case in my head for me to make that bet. What about you?
I think one of them probably will win the AFC.
Yeah.
But maybe there are other good conservative ways to play this. Because, again, going back to my normal strategy of, hey, we just need to make it to the AFC championship game. And then you have one side of the coin at a pretty long number. So I think when you look at the Bills and the Chiefs, you're like, okay, which team should I trust of those teams? Who has the better chance to win their division? I don't think that the Bills necessarily have a cakewalk over the Patriots. But the same could be said for the Chiefs, just simply because their record is just not that great at this juncture in the season. Like, I would have to look at the standings. But at the end of the day, I do think both those teams probably do end up winning their divisions. I think this is where the Colts have a leg up on the competition, because they have a big lead in the AFC South, and it feels like they're going to win their division. So their pathway is going to be easier, just because they're probably going to be penciled in already as a division winner.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. I'm trying to find if there's any value on this list at all. Let me throw this out to you, because I think it's sort of interesting. Like, we were talking about the Patriots. Can the Patriots be a disruptor? Can the Patriots be a disruptor? They have the same odds as the Chargers to win the AFC at 11-1. We have quite literally talked about every team on this list except for the Chargers. Why is that? Because that's why.
Because Joe Alt has had season-ending surgery, and that was a huge blow to the Chargers, who already had some injuries on their offensive line to start the season with Rashawn Slater. I know that they did add some offensive line talent during the trade deadline, but like, Joe Alt was the dude up front.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the numbers for Justin Herbert with Joe Alt in the games, and it's night and day. So he is a big loss on the offensive line, and it's just a trickle-down thing. When you have protection for your quarterback, the passing game is better, and then complementary football says, you know, the run game is even better. So that one kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, I hear that. And it's amazing, too. That's how you know you're an incredible lineman in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I mean? It's not often in the National Football League where a lineman goes out. And I know they lost Rashawn Slater at the start of the year. But it's not often that a guy goes out on the O-line and he has such a significant impact that the rest of the offense falters behind that injury. But Joe Alt is that guy. Like, I remember when they drafted him out of Notre Dame, I think it was. And that guy was an absolute just stud with the Irish. And you knew this is a plug-and-play guy. You put him in, he's going to dominate for a long time. So I hope he gets healthy. But I think your point is well taken, which is once you take a guy like that out, particularly when you're running that Harbaugh offense, which relies so much on balance, like if you want to be successful and you're LA, you've got to be able to do both things. If you lean too far into one or the other, you're just not quite the team that Harbaugh wants to be. So you're right. It is a significant loss. Coming up next here on the show. Yeah, we love our sports, but we also love our streaming corner. It's a Wednesday. I almost said when I was preparing the show yesterday, I had nothing that I'd watch. Well, I was wrong. I came up with something. I bet Chelsea has something. We'll check in with everyone else. That's coming up next on the Daily Tip, and it is here on the BetMGM Network.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.